transportation, and warehousing. To understand how transportation and warehousing work together to minimize distribution costs, we need to first look at shipping patterns and shipping costs. Shipping patterns. Exhibit 8-5 shows how shipping patterns have distinct legs regardless of the shipping mode used. Local delivery is from a shipper or consigner, seller, to a local terminal. Then there is a long line haul leg to another terminal. And this is followed by a final local delivery leg from the terminal to the consignee, buyer. Line haul refers to the main portion of the trip, while the other portions are called local delivery or pickup and delivery. Exhibit 8-5, shipping patterns. The ISCM Supply Chain Dictionary defines terminals as, in transportation, locations where carriers load and unload goods to and from vehicles. They also are used to make connections between local pickup and delivery services and line haul services. Functions performed in terminals include weighing connections with other routes and carriers, vehicle routing, dispatching, maintenance, paperwork, and administration. Terminals may be owned and operated by the carrier or the public. A terminal might be a shipping port, a truck terminal, a rail terminal, an airport, or a pipeline terminal, depending on the line haul mode. Another shipping pattern is a single trip from the shipper to the consignee. In this pattern, there is only a line haul, with materials handling at each end. Yet another pattern is called a milk run, where mixed loads may be picked up from several suppliers. Note that electronic delivery is considered an additional shipping pattern by some supply chain professionals, while others disagree. There is still a consigner and a consignee, but the consignee is essentially picking up the virtual product from the source. So some supply chain professionals think of this as if there is no distribution function at all, much like when a buyer picks up a product from a factory, for example, Ex Works, meaning that the seller has no distribution requirement. From a different perspective, the organization does bear some cost for supplying the download functionality directly or through a third party that manages the payment and download process. If one assumes electronic delivery to be a form of distribution, then it is a breakthrough strategy in that it creates a very low-cost distribution network with near instantaneous delivery and inventory that has a cost for storage, but very low cost to share a copy. However, this method obviously is useful only for virtual products and services that can be digitized. A physical product often uses this method for technical manuals and so on as well. Since the main focus in this section is on products that require physical delivery, electronic delivery is not addressed further in this general content area. Getting back to physical products, shipping patterns help define shipping costs. These costs are dependent on carrier rates, which in turn depend on trade units, unitization, and any special handling requirements. Shipping costs. There are several basic types of shipping costs. Line haul cost. The ISCM Supply Chain Dictionary defines this as the cost of carrier operations to move a container of freight, including driver's wages and usage depreciation. These vary with the cost per mile, the distance shipped, and the weight moved. This cost is commonly expressed in relation to the hundredweight, CWT, of the shipment. Line haul costs are costs for the main portion of the transportation journey. Usage depreciation refers to charges for vehicle wear and tear. The ISCM Supply Chain Dictionary defines total line haul cost as basic costs of carrier operation to move a container of freight, including driver's wages and usage depreciation, which vary with the distance shipped and the cost per mile. The total line haul cost is treated as a variable cost because distance is the primary factor involved and transport mode is a factor for this because it impacts the cost per mile or kilometer. Total line haul costs do not depend primarily on weight. Vehicle weight is usually the majority of the total weight, so an empty vehicle will bear most of the same costs as a full one. Main carriage. This is an alternate term for line haul that is the more common term for the main leg of international transportation. Pickup and delivery costs. The ISCM Supply Chain Dictionary defines this as carrier charges for a shipment pickup plus the weight of that shipment. Costs can be reduced if several smaller shipments are consolidated and picked up in one trip. Pickup is more commonly called origin pickup, while the delivery is more commonly called last mile delivery. These are costs for local pickup at the shipper for delivery to the terminal or for pickup from a terminal for delivery to a consignee. The costs depend primarily on the weight of the pickup and the number of pickups rather than the distance, meaning that the time spent on the task is more of a cost factor than the distance. Pickup and delivery costs are usually treated as fixed costs in cost analyses. If one consolidated pickup can be made instead of two, this reduces costs. Similarly, if weight can be reduced, for example, shipping cola syrup rather than cola with water added, this will reduce costs. Terminal handling charge. The ISCM Supply Chain Dictionary defines this as 1. A carrier charge dependent on the number of times a shipment must be loaded, handled, and unloaded. Cost can be reduced by consolidating shipments into fewer parcels or by shipping in truckload quantities. 2. For shipping lines, the cost of paying container terminals for unloading and loading during shipment. These costs are borne by the shipping lines at the port of shipment or destination. These are fees charged by the terminal for materials handling, inspections, and possibly customs. They are fixed costs that depend on the number of times materials are handled, including loading and unloading. Full loads can often be handled by large equipment, for example, a crane for containers, while partial loads usually need to be unloaded and consolidated with other loads. Since rates are based on handling, higher levels of unitization will reduce costs, for example, shipping only full pallets. Note that floor loaded containers, shipping containers loaded without pallets to maximize yield per container, depending on the products, may have added labor charges for labor-intensive unloading and palletizing. The use of barcodes or automated identification methods, for example, RFID, also lowers costs. Billing and collecting costs. These are the fixed administrative costs related to paying for the services described above. Fewer shipments or fewer pickups and deliveries will reduce these costs, similar to ordering costs. Demurrage fees. The ISCM Supply Chain Dictionary defines demurrage as 1. The carrier charges and fees applied when rail freight cars are retained beyond a specified loading or unloading time. 2. Charges related to the amount of time that filled containers spend within a port terminal beyond the free time offered by the carrier. These charges are designed to limit the storage of containers at the port for an extended time. C. Detention Express. Detention. The ISCM Supply Chain Dictionary defines detention as carrier charges and fees applied when truck trailers are retained beyond a specified loading or unloading time. C. Demurrage Express. Import/Export Tariffs. These are the import and export taxes levied by governments on specific goods and services. They are often used as a political and economic tool. There may also be fees charged for backhauling, but these might be avoided if the carrier can find a way to transport a full or partial load for the return trip rather than an empty backhaul. Deadheading. The ISCM Supply Chain Dictionary defines backhauling as follows. The process of a transportation vehicle returning from the original destination point to the point of origin. The backhaul can be with a full, partial, or empty load. An empty backhaul is called deadheading. C. Deadhead. Note that online exchanges have emerged to improve asset utilization on backhauls by allowing transporters to bid on loads originating in a location where they will be making a delivery. Using a service such as this has allowed transporters to price loads more competitively. Finally, carriers may charge fees or premiums for expediting, requesting faster or more direct delivery than originally promised or for delays. Carrier rates, trade units, unitization, and special handling. Shipping costs are heavily dependent on carrier rates. Carriers, organizations that provide transportation services, may be subject to price regulation in some countries, but transportation has been deregulated for the most part, other than for safety regulations. Carriers have two basic rate structures for the two basic types of trade units, full loads and partial loads. The full load rate is usually called a truckload, TL, or a full truckload, FTL, rate. But similar terms exist for other modes of transport, such as carload for rail or container load for water. The partial load rate is usually called less than truckload, LTL, and likewise, there are related terms like less than carload or less than container load. Due to additional pickup and delivery, terminal handling, other materials handling, and billing and collection costs related to LTL, the rates for this service are much higher than for TL shipments. Therefore, shipping by TL is much less expensive, not only because the rates are less, but also because there will be fewer total loads to transport. One trade-off of using TL shipping is that it creates lot size inventory, cycle stock, and this will increase overall carrying costs. This trade-off may or may not overtake the other cost savings from using TL shipments, since the carrying cost rate would need to be fairly high to do so. But it is a factor to consider in total cost analysis. In addition to rates charged based on TL and LTL, carriers charge different rates based on what is being shipped and how it is packaged. What is being shipped could be an item requiring normal or special handling. How it is packaged is called unitization. Here are some factors that influence these rates. dangerous goods, hazmat, or oversized goods may require specialized vehicles, certified handlers, arrangements with relevant authorities for escort, and so on, and therefore typically cost more. Perishable frozen and refrigerated goods may require special vehicles and handling equipment. High-value goods have premium charges for providing security and to compensate for the carrier's increased liability related to damages. Goods that are susceptible to damage cost more, but the quality of packaging can reduce these risks and thus also the charges. Goods that are packaged for easy handling, for example on pallets, have lower rates than items that need more handling, for example floor-loaded containers or specialized handling equipment. Costs related to product characteristics. There is a relationship between density and volume. Less dense goods will fill the available volume faster and less can be shipped, so carrier rates are higher. Dense goods cost relatively less to ship, except when they are so dense that a vehicle weight limit is reached before the volume is maximized. Reducing transportation costs involves working to fill a vehicle's payload to the maximum amount for each trip. Generally, this means maximizing the weight being shipped, which will in turn reduce the per unit or per weight line haul costs. This works well up to the vehicle's weight limit. Other goods that cannot reach this weight limit will work instead to maximize the volume of the payload used, for example, stacking higher. How warehousing can reduce transportation costs. Based on these costs, and in particular, on the difference between TL and LTL costs, warehousing can play a value-added role in reducing transportation costs. However, warehouses cost money. This includes the cost of the facility and its equipment, and the cost of labor for materials handling. The cost savings from using warehouses need to be higher than the cost of the warehouse. One example of how warehouses can add value is by allowing multiple LTL shipments to be combined into fewer TL shipments for the line haul part of a trip and then using the distribution center, DC, to split these loads into local deliveries to customers. Exhibit 8-6 illustrates this difference. Exhibit 8-6. Warehousing adds value by enabling TL for line hauls. In the initial scenario, orders are shipped directly to customers, for example, retailers, using separate LTL shipments. In the second scenario, the shipments are combined into a single TL shipment to a DC in the local area of the same customers. The DC splits the loads into local deliveries, which is called break bulk. The ISCM Supply Chain Dictionary defines break bulk as 1. The process of dividing truckloads, rail cars, or containers of homogeneous items into smaller, more appropriate quantities for use. 2. A distribution center, DC, that specializes in break bulk activities. 3. Unitized cargo in bales, boxes, or crates that is placed directly in a ship's holds rather than in containers. C. Break bulk warehousing. If the cost of the transportation and warehousing services involved in the second scenario is less than the cost in the first scenario, then the DC is adding value. DCS provide many similar value-added services, such as consolidation of LTLS from various suppliers into TLS prior to the line haul. The ISCM Supply Chain Dictionary defines freight consolidation as the grouping of shipments to obtain reduced costs or improved utilization of the transportation function. Consolidation can occur by grouping by market area, according to scheduled deliveries, or within third-party pooling services, such as public warehouses and freight forwarders. C. Milk run. When freight consolidation is performed at a DC that supplies to retailers or at a fulfillment center, a type of DC used for fulfilling direct online orders to consumers, it is sometimes called product mixing. Consolidation or product mixing results in economies of scope. It provides the needed variety of goods in one location, reducing the number of individual orders the customer needs to place with different suppliers. This helps meet the goal of reducing cost and increasing efficiency for the customer. Analyses of whether to use DCS are often made for all shipments on an annual basis. Let's look at an example in which the cost of each alternative is calculated and the least cost method is chosen. Assume that the annual shipping volume is 40,000 tons. The cost of LTL direct to customers is $100 per ton. The cost of TL shipments to the DC is $50 per ton. The cost of local delivery is $10 per ton. And the DCS inventory carrying cost is $12 per ton. Exhibit 8-7 shows the results of these calculations of tons times the cost per ton. Exhibit 8-7. Example comparing LTL direct to TL with DC costs. In this case, the DC with full truckload line hauls saves $28 per ton, or $1.1 million at 40,000 tons. Note that these analyses might differentiate between fixed and variable cost components for DCS. For example, the capital costs of the facility and the equipment are fixed costs. This results in a type of break-even analysis. Above a particular shipping volume, it will be advantageous to use a DC. Below that break-even point, it is better to ship directly.